Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be looking at the opposition through compromise as we pick up with Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Let's turn to Nehemiah 6, and it seems that we did skip this. So, Nehemiah chapter 6. When Nehemiah sought to build the wall, there were those enemies who sought to hinder the building of the wall. They knew that the building of the wall would mean a strengthening of the defenses. The enemy always keeps to seek you in a weakened position. And thus, whenever you begin to develop practices that will strengthen your position, you can be sure that the enemy is going to fight you. He sought to fight against Nehemiah in the building of the defenses of the city of Jerusalem. When you start going to church, studying the word, fellowshipping together, Satan is going to seek to hinder that. He knows that in these practices there is strength. Your defenses are being strengthened. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in fellowship. There's strength in the word. And the enemies first sought to discourage the work of the rebuilding of the wall by ridicule. And this is one of Satan's powerful weapons that he often uses against a child of God. That weapon of ridicule. None of us like to be made fun of. We don't like to be ridiculed. Our flesh rebels against that. And thus, the enemy seeks to use ridicule as a discouragement to seeking God, to spending a lot of time in the Word, spending time in prayer. When that did not work, then they sought to hinder it by these sneak attacks. And so Nehemiah took certain measures to protect against the sneak attacks. The next one was the discouragement. As the people themselves, Satan began that fight from within. As the people saw the amount of rubble, the great task that was yet to be done, they became discouraged. They said, "We can't do it." And oh, what a strong weapon discouragement is against us when we just get discouraged. But Nehemiah's answer to the discouragement was to turn the people's eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes off of the problem. Get your eyes off of the enemy. Get your eyes on the Lord. And therein is encouragement and strength. And that's always the cure for discouragement, is get your eyes off the problem. Get your eyes on Jesus, who is greater than any problem that we might ever face. Then greed became a real problem as the wealthy were oppressing the poor. Nehemiah took care of that. Now in chapter 6, these two fellows, Sanballat and Tobiah, who were the leaders of the movement against Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls, these men who were sort of orchestrating the attacks of the enemy, along with a fellow Geshem, the Arabian, when they heard that the wall was almost built, that there was no breach left in the wall, they had been unsuccessful in their attempts to halt or to hinder the work. It had gone on, and now there are no breaches left. They filled in. Though at that time they had not yet set up the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. Actually, they thought to murder him. So they wanted to draw him out of the city into one of the villages. And they said, you know, we need to talk about this. Of course, I found one of the most debilitating things to the work of God are committees. Let's talk about it. And there are always those people that are wanting to talk about something, and then there are always those people that are doing something about it. And I would rather be around the doers than the talkers. Let's get in and do it. And so I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? So he refused to meet them in the villages. There was a conspiracy, of course, to murder him. And so they sent four letters after the same sort. They kept pressing it, kept pushing it. How persistent the enemy is in seeking to break you down. A lot of times he'll come with a temptation. We'll have victory and we think, oh, all right, I won the victory. Great, you know. But look out, he'll come again and again and again, seeking to catch you at a weak point, seeking to break down your resistance by his persistence. And thus, four times they sent to him, you know, saying, come on, you better come out and we better talk about this. Finally, they sent an open letter. Now, in that Oriental culture, that was an insult, a great insult to Nehemiah. These people with their open letters, they send a letter to you, but it's an open letter. They send it to the newspaper, and you read it in the newspaper, you know, full page in LA Times. And it's only an endeavor to put down the person. It's hard, you see, for you to answer that open letter. It's hard to respond to the accusations, the innuendos and all that are created by an open letter. And so they sent the open letter, wherein it was written, it's reported among the heathen, and Gashmu is saying it, that you and the Jews are thinking to rebel, for which cause you are building the wall. So there's rumors going around, friend. You're planning to rebel against the king, and that's why you're building the wall. And that you are planning to be their king. Now, this is an open letter. It's something that they're completely scurrilous charges. And yet, here it is in an open letter, everybody is reading it, that Nehemiah is planning to be king, he's planning to rebel against the king of Syria as soon as the walls are built. And this is what they're saying. And you also have appointed prophets there in Jerusalem to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. So you've hired these guys to go around and say, Nehemiah should be king. We've got a king in Judah. Now, these things are going to be reported to King Artaxerxes. So you better come down and you better talk about this. These are pretty serious things. And if it gets back to Artaxerxes, you're going to be in big trouble. So full of lies, full of false accusations, seeking to intimidate Nehemiah into coming out. I mean, the whole idea is that of intimidation. Force him to come out and talk by this open letter that is just filled with these huge lies. And so I sent to them saying, there are no such things done as you say, but you're just making them up out of your own heart. Just denies it. He doesn't go around and try and clear things up and say, well, let's talk about it. He just says, hey, it's not true. You're making it up. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. The whole purpose was to strike fear in his heart to weaken him. So he prays. And it is interesting to me that in so many of these issues where they're trying to stop him, Nehemiah's recourse is that of prayer. When they try to ridicule him, Nehemiah just prays, said, Lord, you know, take care of him. And here, when they are trying to strike fear in his heart to weaken him, he just says, Lord, strengthen my hands. And so afterwards, he came up to the house of Shemaiah, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, because they're going to try to come at night and kill you. Yes, in the night, they're planning to come to kill you. Now, this Shemaiah was acting as a prophet, sort of a thus saith the Lord, you know. You better hide in the temple, for thus saith the Lord, they're coming at night to kill you. He was saying this as a prophet, or in the guise of a prophecy. He was warning Nehemiah to find shelter by going into the temple, shutting the doors, and finding the security of the temple at night to save himself from this assassination attempt. And he answered, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Nehemiah was not a Levite. Therefore, he was not to go into that area of the temple that was reserved for the priest, into the holy place. This fellow, a prophet of God, supposedly was saying, come on, let's go in and let's, you know, find protection there. But Nehemiah said, you know, such a one as I, flee into the temple for safety. I'll not do it. For I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for he had been hired by Tobiah and Sanballat. So this spiritual guy's kind of a thing. And beware of those who come with that, you know, strange look in their eye. And the Lord told me to tell you, and thus saith the Lord. The Bible tells us that if one prophesies, the others should judge. And throughout history, throughout the Bible history, there have always been those who have prophesied in the name of the Lord, but it was not of the Lord. And during the time of Jeremiah, there were many false prophets which were the bane to Jeremiah's existence. And here the prophet came as a prophet, pronounced this prophecy. But Nehemiah had enough discernment to know that God will not command you to do something that is contrary to his word. Remember that. One of the things by which prophecy is judged is the word of God, and God would never command you to do something contrary to his word. Tobiah and Sanballat had hired this man to give this, you know, with the spiritual overtones, in order to, again, sort of cower Nehemiah into submitting. But he perceived that God had not sent him. He was hired in order to make me afraid. Satan's tool against the child of God is fear. Today, as I was heading home from church, I noticed that I was being followed. I saw the car pull right out after mine as I went past the exit there, and it was quite, well, I could just see that I was being followed. The fellow really didn't do too much to hide it. My first impression, well, interesting, you know, he's making the same turns I'm making and all. So finally I made a turn that wasn't towards my house, just to make sure. And he made the turn, so I pulled over. Figured, well, he wants something. And he came up to the car, and he was greatly troubled. He was afraid that maybe he wasn't truly saved. Oh, that's one of the trips that the enemy tries to put on people so often, making you doubt your salvation, creating fear in your heart concerning your relationship with God. And so we talked with him for a while there and prayed with him, assuring him that God's word is true. And you see, in these issues, you have to take a choice whether or not you're going to believe God's word or you're going to believe Satan's lie as he comes to try and fill your heart with fear. It's a tool that Satan so often uses to torment us, to cause us to be afraid. And whenever you get in that position of fear, then Satan has you at a disadvantage. And so he was hired that I should be afraid and should go on into the temple and sin, that they might have a matter to accuse me, this evil report, that they might reproach me. And so he says, "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah." This woman was implicated into this whole thing. She evidently confirmed the prophecy that was made. "And the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." Lord, remember them. Take care of it. And so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, that is September, in 52 days. And so it was a really great enterprise. "And it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, all of the heathen were round about us, when they saw these things, they were very much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. And moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters to Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah who were sworn to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Barakiah." Now, actually, Tobiah had made some inroads, intermarriages. And so there was a lot of correspondence between Tobiah and those within Jerusalem, some of the nobles, even the high priest. "And they also reported his good deeds before me." Tobiah's a nice guy. "And uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me into fear." So moving now over to chapter 10. The people, you remember chapter 9, confessed their sin and the faithfulness of God. Looking at their history, they have been reading the law, and the law revealed so many interesting things. How God had established a covenant with them, but how they had failed. Our fathers failed to keep the covenant. And there were the constant affirmations of God's faithfulness, but man's unfaithfulness. And so they ended with a commitment: "We're going to renew our covenant with God. We are going to live by the law of God." And that determination to renew this covenant. And so verse 38 of chapter 9, "And because of all of this, we made a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests attest." They seal unto it. They sign their name to it. Now, those that sealed the covenant were Nehemiah, the governor, and then all of these names. These names are those of the priest. In verse 9, it begins giving you the names of the Levites. In verse 14, it begins with the list of the chief of the people who signed this covenant. And then in verse 28, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, and the Nethinims. And all of they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. So the list of those names of people who said, we're going to make this covenant with God, we seal it, we attest to it.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Nehemiah in our next lesson, as we follow the ratifiers of the covenant. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
But may the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you. May this be a week of discovery, your personal discovery of the greatness of God. May He reveal Himself to you in many ways that you might see His glory, His power, His love. May you be strengthened by His Spirit, and may that same Spirit teach and instruct you in the ways of God, that we might walk in a way that will please Him, that we will serve Him, we will obey Him, we will love Him. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of very special resources by Pastor Chuck Smith that answer some of the many questions about the third person of the Trinity. The first of these two resources is entitled The Person of the Holy Spirit and contains 12 messages that explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit in detail, as well as how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. Now, the second resource is entitled The Gifts of the Holy Spirit and consists of 19 messages covering such subjects as healing, prophecy, and faith. Pastor Chuck not only explains how and why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to the church today, but he also encourages believers to fully understand the working of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. Once again, you'll be asking for The Person of the Holy Spirit and The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-9673. WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.